Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
I do hope your Tuesday is going well so far. It's Tuesday, June 11th, 2019, and oh boy, buckle your seatbelts. It's going to be another very interesting show. We, every day on this program, and I know most of my colleagues here at EWTN, we are rearranging, rescheduling, moving things around because there's so much breaking news to respond, So what we're doing today is we're going to have an author on with a brand new book at 15 minutes past hour because of the big and very compelling and powerful document that came out from the Vatican yesterday regarding the truth of male-female complementarity, upholding that truth. We need to respond to this, share it with you in detail, and have one of our many wonderful experts comment on it. And so we're bringing on Dr. Janet Smith from Sacred Heart Major Seminary. She is an author, she is a speaker, she is a professor at Sacred Heart Major Seminary. You know her for her great work with theology of the body and then some. And she has done a lot of work in terms of addressing the issues that we're facing in the church, especially with the abuse crisis, predatory homosexuality among priests, and just looking at this overall issue of what we're facing in terms of attacks on the realities of who we are, male and female, made in the image and likeness of God. So Dr. Smith joining us after the break, and we're opening up the phone lines for you to join him. We're also going to be chatting with Chuck Donovan. I love his work. He's the head of the Charlotte Lozier Institute, which is a research and education arm of SBA, the Susan B. Anthony List. Now, he is going to be talking to us about a number of headlines, including regarding the Hyde Amendment. And there have been some candidates who have been switching on the Hyde Amendment, supporting it and now not supporting it, claiming, quote unquote, in one case, circumstances have changed. But what is so fascinating about all of this is the constant psychological issues that come up here. I'm not a Dr. Ray Guarendi or a Dr. Gregory Popcheck, nor do I play one on television, as the old saying goes. However, I don't think you have to be a Gregory Popcheck or a Ray Guarendi to figure this one out, because this is a clear case over and over again of projection as well as deflection. What they are guilty of, they accuse us of doing, and they push it on us. Happens all the time, especially with this issue of abortion as well as the issue when it comes to sexuality, transgender, so-called same-sex marriage, all of these things. Those of us who support reality, as in the creation of the human person, as in life, as in what is so obvious in terms of objective truth, we become the bad guys, as is the case with this Hyde Amendment. We've been accused by many now of being, among other things, racist for supporting the Hyde Amendment, which makes absolutely no sense in reality, because the Hyde Amendment, as Chuck will point out, is saving mostly non-white lives, given the number of minority babies that are killed in the womb through abortion. There are so many stories to cover this morning that I don't even know where to begin. There's also a big story, and I've posted all of this, by the way, on my Facebook page at Mrs. Teresa Tomeo, and getting a big response to these stories. If we have time, I do want to play a video, the audio version of this so-called author and PhD. She calls herself a feminist, but if you look at what feminism really is, she's anything but, where she is openly admitting that abortion is killing, but saying that it's certainly justifiable and needed. And the way she tries to place herself above as this member of the intelligentsia, and she's so well-educated, this PhD who's a researcher in Philadelphia, and she knows all, she knows everything, and she's telling the abortion movement how they have to address this, still, she's jumping through all kinds of hoops and using language that I thought I was pretty knowledgeable on this issue. I'm not perfect. I have a lot to learn. But I've never heard the twists and the turns of language that she has come up with. As Doug Keck always says, these people twisting themselves into pretzels, for crying out loud, to try and make themselves sound intelligent about killing people and justifying it. It's pretty scary. But I think we need to hear it, because this is what we're facing. And as I told my local listeners, if we don't take this seriously, especially the fact that we are heading into another election year, and if we don't vote life, then everything is going to continue to crumble because it starts there. These other issues are matters of prudential judgment, including health care, immigration, climate change. As Father Frank Pavone mentioned earlier regarding the whole body of social teaching in the church, many of these issues are prudential, and there may be certain policy statements, but in terms of core teaching, it begins and ends with life. Because if you're dead, these issues don't matter. And I am sick and tired of people trying to bring this all together under one big umbrella and calling us a one-issue people if we care about life, and then meanwhile going to such lengths where these 180 executives, another story we're going to be talking about in the news, are signing a paper saying that it's discriminatory to have these abortion bans and it's bad for business. And saying that the only way we have really quality is if women can get abortion. So I get it. You can't move ahead in your job unless you have access to abortion. That sounds pretty sexist to me. Are men being told that they have to go tell their wives or their partners to have an abortion in order for them to succeed? It is so ridiculous. And we're going to talk about this with Dr. Janet Smith and with Chuck Donovan from the Charlotte Lozier Institute. Secondly, in order to be able to be strong, loving and strong, because again, the end of the day, we want to witness to truth. And yes, we need to be firm, and there are going to be times and we're going to have a tete-a-tete and maybe the conversation won't go as well. But the ultimate objective is not to have a debate, but is to present truth and to lovingly question people. For example, someone on my Facebook page this morning, a man, I don't know who he is, he's a new follower, and he was polite and he was defending these executives talking about, you know, pro-choice and how sex is a partnership. I said, really? You call it a partnership? What's a partnership when it comes to being pro-choice? That's hypocritical. Where's the partnership in allowing the baby to have a decision or the man, the father of the child? How is that a partnership? So you question politely. And I was polite. I was firm, but I was polite. But this is just, it's so out of control. This should give us some comfort in the fact that they're jumping through all sorts of hoops to defend themselves. But at the same time, what's scary is so many people in very prominent positions are drinking the Kool-Aid nonstop. And so we have to be, as the gospel says today, salt and light. None of this, well, I don't want to get involved, I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to, well, yeah, we need to pray. Obviously, we bring everything to the Lord in prayer. But we don't sit back while lives are at stake. Lives of the babies, lives of the women, all of our lives, because our religious freedoms, brothers and sisters, are going to be torn apart if we don't stand up. Enough already. So what do we do? How do we gain strength? Well, we pray. We receive the sacraments, right? We read scripture. We listen to Catholic radio. And we also go to places where we know we're going to hear more and learn more about the faith. There are two events in particular that I want to talk about that are coming up that I think will be very helpful for you if you're in the area. For the men, we mentioned this before, our very own Father Leo Pedlinghung is going to be one of the keynote speakers at the Catholic Cincinnati Men's Conference coming up for the Father's Day weekend. And you can go to the home page of the Archdiocese, which is CatholicCincinnati.org. There's a beautiful statement from the Archbishop, Archbishop Schnur. And I really want to encourage you to think about going to this event. Really important to check it out. So go to the Archdiocese of Cincinnati for more information. And the event is beautiful. It's all about standing up for fathers. All right? So check it out, the Cincinnati Catholic Men's Conference, which is coming up in the Archdiocese of Cincinnati on Father's Day weekend, which is, of course, just days away. And then also, I am so excited, next weekend, the weekend of June the 21st or the 23rd, I will be in my husband's hometown of Scranton, Pennsylvania. I'll be speaking along with Sister Mercy from the Sisters of Life in New York at the Catholic Women's Conference, a second annual in the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. We are going to have a book signing on Friday night, and then Saturday is a conference taking place at the University of Scranton. And it's simply very easy to find online, Catholic Women's Conference, CWC-NEPA. So Catholic Women's Conference, NortheastPennsylvania.com. And there you go. Or it's also on the homepage of the Scranton Diocesan website. The reason I wanted to announce it this morning is that I spoke to Mary Carroll, one of the organizers, and they are holding the discount, the spring discount, open until Thursday. So you have 2 days to get the discount. Now, coming together, they're going to have Mass in the morning, ending the day with adoration. You're going to have great talks, opportunity for reconciliation, and very similar to the structure of the men's conference. When you go to an event like this, you are strengthened. You hear truth, and you are in the presence of other people who love the Lord. And so it's very important when we're in these battles out there, regardless of whether we're trying to stand up for the faith in our family, in the workplace, all of the above, even make a difference at our parish, you understand that you are not alone, and you can share ideas, you can encourage, you can exchange, and you'll be just surrounded by peace and great music, and it's a huge opportunity for an uplifting day. And we all need that. We all need these little mini retreats, which is what these are. And so again, many of our own EWTN personalities are often at these events, including the Catholic Men's Conference featuring Father Leo. This is in the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. What a great Father's Day gift that would make. And then the Catholic Women's Conference coming up a week from Saturday in northeastern Pennsylvania with the discount still being available, Catholic Women's Conference, NEPA. So CWC, NEPA, or go to the homepage of the Diocese of Scranton. All right, you know, it's already 11 minutes past the hour. I pretty much told you all the news that there is. So I think what we'll do is I'll share the document with you when Janet comes on. I'd rather bring Dr. Smith on a few minutes early to open up the phone lines if you have questions or comments, and then also give time for Chuck Donovan from the Charlotte Lozier Institute. I've never been in a position where I've had to change stories and change rundowns almost every day, and this is what's happening right now because there's so much in the world that we need to address. And we have to draw under. Oh, and another big news story. In addition to the document coming out from the Vatican, the Register and CatholicNewsAgency.com have a really good story on a paper, a statement on church truths that Archbishop and Cardinal Burke have signed along with other bishops. I think it's a small group of bishops, but excellent bishops, talking about the fact that Catholics need clarity right now on teaching. And so they've got a document that they put out. We have the story on Catholic News Agency, also the National Catholic Register, so check that out. Again, I can't keep up with all this stuff. I'm trying. Andrew and I are trying. So we'll open up the phone lines right now at 13 minutes past the hour. Just give you kind of a summary of the news. But please, if you are anywhere near Cincinnati, ladies, get your husband a ticket for the men's conference of Father's Day weekend. And also, ladies, if you're anywhere near northeastern Pennsylvania, maybe you're in New York, maybe you're in Philly, I'd love to see you at the Catholic Women's Conference. I'm doing a talk on meeting Jesus at the well, and then I'm doing Beyond Sunday. And you can bet I'm going to be a little fired up. Just saying. We'll be right back.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
When you are predictable in your authority, you will actually have to use that authority less. Consistent discipline leads to less constant discipline. The more you act when you need to act, the less you will have to act in the future with similar misbehavior.
The Doctor is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. This afternoon, 1 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. I want to announce that Steve Ray and I will be going on pilgrimage to the great land of Poland, August 21st to August 30th.
We're going to follow John Paul II, Maria Faustina and the Divine Mercy, and Maximilian Kolbe. We're even going to visit Auschwitz and see the place where Maximilian Kolbe gave his life in the cell there.
People can get more information at AveMariaRadio.net. And where else, Steve?
CatholicConvert.com. Click on the big pilgrimage banner or call 866-468-1420.
Now, on the Ave Maria Radio app, the prayer section, where you can listen to the Holy Rosary. All four mysteries are voiced by Christ as the Answer and Father Knows Best host, Father John Ricardo. Are you struggling to remember specific prayers for pre- and post-confession, reciting the Stations of the Cross, or prayers during Eucharistic Adoration? It's all there, word for word, and within a few clicks under the prayer section on the Ave Maria Radio app. Download it on your smart device today.
So appreciate the great work of Dr. Janet Smith. You know her well, seen her and heard her on EWTN numerous times, her books, and she's a theologian, she is a professor right in her own backyard at the wonderful Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit, and has been doing a lot of great work addressing the issues in the church, and is very familiar with this topic in terms of where the church stands on, of course, always revealing the truth and the dignity of the human person made in God's image, male and female. And Janet, before we begin, let me just read a couple of paragraphs from the Catholic News Agency's story about the document that came out yesterday. The Vatican issuing a sweeping denunciation of so-called gender theory, affirming the principles of human dignity, difference, and complementarity. In all such gender theories, from the most moderate to the most radical, there is agreement that one's gender ends up being viewed as more important than being of male or female sex. And the document from the Congregation for Catholic Education, which was released June 10th, is entitled Male and Female, He Created Them. The effect of this move is chiefly to create a cultural and ideological revolution driven by relativism and secondarily a juridical revolution, since such beliefs claim specific rights for the individual and across society. The document says it aims to set out an intellectual framework toward a path of dialogue on the question of gender theory in education. Published as Catholic News Agency reports at the beginning of Pride Month, during which many cities and corporations mark the campaign of LGBT advocacy, the document says the church teaches an essential difference between men and women ordered in the natural law and essential to family and human flourishing. There is a need to reaffirm the metaphysical roots of sexual difference as an anthropological refutation of attempts to negate the male-female duality of human nature from which the family is generated. Document, I printed it up, I'm going over it. It's about 33 pages long. I think you should read it if you haven't. It's not difficult to understand, and I'm not a theologian like Janet, and I didn't have any problem with it. So, Janet, thanks for joining us. Your thoughts, first of all, on the release of this document in the middle of Pride Month.
In the middle of?
The Gay Pride Month that we're having right now, because that's been noted by many. Yeah.
I don't know what's... I noticed that it was, the date on it is February 2nd.
Okay.
And so, like, they obviously have held it back for several months, so maybe that's the reason. But I, it's peculiar to me, and maybe that it is their way of trying to lay down the fundamental principles of the church to help us think through all these challenges we have to good common sense. So that may well be it. It may be Pride Month. But that's a good explanation.
Yeah, it's pretty clear, I think, and the reaction to it, I'm not surprised by it, but you have some pretty wild statements coming out, including Father Martin saying that this is going to be used basically, and I'm paraphrasing, but as a battering ram against members of the community that have same-sex attraction or who claim that they're transgender or crossing over from one sex to the next. And I just don't see what this is based on, because the church is very clear in the catechism, long before this document was ever written or released, that we do not discriminate against anyone.
Oh, and the document says that very, very clearly. Again, that everybody needs to be responded to with absolute respect and love, and we should never engage in unjust discrimination. The document's very clear about that. But his remarks are absolutely incendiary. He also says that the document can be used as an excuse to argue that transgendered people shouldn't even exist. I don't know what that means. It's sort of the other side that's been saying people like Down syndrome children shouldn't even exist. So, people should exist. Thank God all these people exist. No one's trying to wipe them out. We're trying to help them. We see it as a fundamental disorder, is to think that your biological gender and your psychological gender don't need to be integrated. And so everybody who reads about the people in this situation, it's marked by profound misery of so many kinds. And to want anybody to, what we don't want to exist is that profound misery. And
right.
So people are just not recognizing that this is, it just is, it comes from some terrible pain in a person's being. The ones that aren't, what we've done now, of course, couple years, the number of people who identify as transgender has risen by 4,000%. You said, well, what happened here? Again, this is kind of what we call social contagion, mm-hmm. that people had never heard of it before, never thought of it before. It was never an option. It's now something that anybody who, you know, a little trendy thing, especially for kids at the age of their life when they feel marginalized and they don't feel like they fit in. And that's virtually every kid except for the most popular cheerleader and, a quarterback. And so you have all these kids who feel on the margins, and they have an explanation for that. My explanation for that is I'm transgendered. And it becomes a kind of a trendy thing, as opposed to there is genuine, you know, physical dysphoria, body of dysphoria, that you don't identify with your own body. Now, that's a really serious mental disorder, right? The other thing that's going on is we've given everybody every choice on the face of the earth, and people will choose different things that you give them. But unfortunately, this one is, you know, you get kids who, I have a brother who wanted to change his name. He didn't like the name Gary. He wanted to have my father's name John. And, of course, he wanted to be known as a cowboy. You know, that's who he was. He was a cowboy. You go along with all sorts of things as kids are developing their fantasy world and their self-image is being built. But this one is permanent, that we are doing things to prepubescent children and postpubescent young people that will change them for the rest of their lives. It's hard to go back on some of these things, impossible to go back on some of them. So the fact that our culture has accepted this kind of as a choice that a young person should be allowed to make, it's a kind of insanity, and
yeah.
It's incredibly harmful. I mean, they say 85% of kids grow out of this. 85% of those who genuinely have it, grow out of it. But the rest of them are just experimenting with their identity, as kids
right.
do.
Yeah. But how do you break through, and we see this also in the abortion push, too, when people are literally living in an alternate reality, when they deny objective truth. They deny objective truth. They can look at a tree and say, it's a bike. I mean, that's how bad it's gotten in this day and age. How do you break through that? Is it even possible? I mean, with God, all things are possible, but how do you communicate with those people?
Well, it's going to be the same thing, unfortunately, that we found with contraception, as you said, with abortion and same-sex relationships, is that we're going to have to wait for the consequences. People anymore don't understand the notion of principle, the notion of underlying truths that govern everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only way, if you know that, there's all sorts of things. Because if you know a plane without one wing can't fly. You know that. There's no point in getting in that plane. But our culture is telling us, oh, let's try it. We've never tried it before. And you say, well, we have. And even if we hadn't tried it before, we know perfectly well what will happen. That plane will crash. It only has one wing. And so, because we know reality. Well, people now are complete skeptics. They don't think they know you can know reality, and anything can be tried. So we just have to wait until there's so many miserable people whose lives have been irrevocably damaged by this, that maybe people will come to their senses. So we have to promote as much as possible stories of people who are transgender, who have come to regret that and the damage that it's done them. Same with people who have gone through divorces and people who have had abortions and people whose lives have been ruined by promiscuity and contraception. The only way that our culture learns is from bad consequences. I wish it were otherwise. It should be otherwise. But once you have said you can't know the truth, there is no such thing as truth, you're willing to try anything. And the only way that eventually you'll turn around is that that people are suffering and suffering terribly.
It's just so tragic because, yes, God allows 1,000 U-turns and a contrite heart, and anything we've done, he will forgive if we come to him and through the sacrament and ask for that forgiveness. But if we would just listen to what he has to say for us. I mean, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future." You don't have to go down that road, and that's what's so heartbreaking and tragic.
Well, it absolutely is, in a way that the public school system is now incorporating that entirely into their curriculum. I mean, an enormous part of this document is talking about education, because mm-hmm. it knows that this is being promoted in the schools. One of the best books has been written by Mary Hassan and Teresa Farnham on Get Out Now, Why You Should Pull Your Kids Out of Public School Before It's Too Late.
Janet, hang on. We're going to take a break, and we'll continue that thought. And we'll also take some phone calls at 877-573-7825, having a great conversation with Dr. Janet Smith on the new document that was released yesterday, Male and Female, He Created Them. We'll be right back.
Stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a
priest?
Why is
the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Why are there so few practicing Catholics in public office? And by practicing, I mean Orthodox, faithful to all the Church's teachings. There are many thousands of good Catholic candidates for school boards, mayor seats, state senate, Congress, governorships, even the presidency. They're out there. Some of them may be listening right now. We need to spend less time complaining about faux Catholics out there and more of our time encouraging the real ones to get in the game. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 1915, we read, "As far as possible, citizens should take an active part in public life." Don't get me wrong, public life is not easy. The times are tough. But were they as tough as the first, say, 300 years of the Church? Haven't we as Catholics faced down more fearsome enemies than the ones we face today? I think so, too. I'm Patrick Coffin of PatrickCoffin.media. Be a saint. What else is there?
It never ceases to amaze me that every time I watch Mother Angelic or read one of her books, I always learn something new. In this new book, What is Heaven?, Mother offers this. The joy of heaven, she says, is always going to be fresh. In heaven, because God is infinite, there is no end to the things we can learn about him. He will be forever new to us.
What is Heaven? By Mother Angelica. From EWTN Publishing. Visit EWTNRC.com or call 1-800-854-6316.
Dr. Janet Smith joining us regarding the document that was released yesterday from the Vatican. And the U.S. bishops, their Department of Education, just releasing a statement thankful for the document. Male and female, he created them. 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. And I love to see how Scripture always relates to what we're going through today, the gospel for today. From the Gospel of St. Matthew, Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand, where it gives light to all in the house. Just so your light must shine before others, and they must see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." We need to be a light, Janet. So much darkness, and not just darkness in terms of what's being promoted, but as you mentioned, what's so heartbreaking is the suffering. And how many times have we spoken with women, men, associated, for example, the fallout of contraception and abortion? I mean, the testimonies that we've shared on this radio program, just this program alone, or just throughout EW10, or the work that you've done. And how many stories now are we hearing? I was telling you during the break that there's a story of this man who's coming forward who went through the whole process and he's, I don't think he's even in his 40s, of trying to become a woman, quote unquote, and realizing that it was all a lie, and now he was able to turn back to his original sex, right? I mean, not that he could change your sex, but you know what I'm saying. And he's out there speaking, and he's being attacked, he's being condemned, he's being barred. The truth is not allowed to surface because deep down they know the truth will set all of us free, and for whatever reason, they're not able to accept that at this point. It just seems so difficult to break through. You were mentioning a book earlier before the break. I wanted to let you finish that thought.
Yes, it's a book by Mary Hassan and Teresa Farnham called, the title is very emphatic. It's amazing, but it says, Get Out Now, Why You Should Pull Your Child from Public School Before It's Too Late. And some of the facts in it are just chilling, that you're, in many places, if your kid goes to school and says at school identifies the opposite sex, then the teacher has to treat them that way and without telling the parents. They're not allowed to tell the parents that Johnny has come up to school, back to school, and wants to be known as Jane. And so it's this sort of thing that, you know, the document makes it very clear that the parents are the primary educators of their children. And that the children have a—it's interesting the terms, some terms of the document, that the children have a right, and the parents have a right to work out these questions within the context of the home, and not the school. And it's the home where femininity and masculinity will be modeled for a child. So this idea that the school has some sort of sovereignty over the family, which our culture thinks that you have to completely succumb to any agenda that the schools have.
The thing that also is amazing to me about the lack of reality here is that if a student went in and said, I identify, even though I'm 7 years old, as a teacher, and therefore I want to take your place, and so you sit down, I'm going to sit at the desk, and I'm going to stand up at the chalkboard, and I'm going to teach. Or, I don't believe this is a classroom. I believe this is an amusement park. So this is how I identify as a student who believes this is an amusement park. I want to do what I want to do because this is how I'm identifying. They would basically take that child down to the office, call the parents, and say your child has issues. And yet when it comes to sexuality, they can say whatever they want and we have to jump through hoops. So this is what this document was talking about in terms of where the court system comes in, where it becomes a sweeping ideology that affects all of us.
Yeah, it's exactly. One thing I found, several things so interesting about the document. I did a quick read of it, and I'll have to read it more carefully. I actually found it a little more difficult than you said you did. I thought it was kind of dense, and it's interesting. In the beginning, it talks about needing to listen and to dialogue, but the listening really is not to listening to pro transgendered people, but listening to the culture that has produced this reality. That's what it's saying. Listen, look, see, what has brought this about? I mean, most of us 10 years ago didn't really even know what transgenderism was.
Right.
So how did it arise? And it doesn't mention there, and it should, of course, is a connection back to contraception, where contraception basically is a neutering of the female or the male. It's basically saying your sexual identity as a female means that you can conceive, and as a male that you can beget a child. And then you neuter that. You say that's not what we want of our bodies. We want our bodies to be under our domination and our dominion. And so you're saying, and it goes back to that. And then sex again, when sex no longer has to preserve the procreative possibility, then all of a sudden, why not sex between members of the same sex? Mm-hmm. And then you say again, well, then I should be able to not only have sex with whoever I want to have sex with, no matter what their gender, I should be allowed to be whatever gender I want to be. And so you see this, you know, ideas have consequences. And once you have all, and one that you allow one thing, there is inevitably, but nobody saw it coming. This is an interesting thing to me. You go back to the whole contraception debate, and there was a little bit of a sense that eventually there would be some, more openness to homosexuality, but nobody thought there'd be such thing as same-sex marriages, and nobody thought there'd be such a thing as trans acceptance of transgenderism and allowing transgendered women to participate in women's sports. nobody thought. And there's no predictions. You go back 20, 30, 50 years ago, there's no predictions of this kind. So these things are following out a logical progression that we didn't even dare to think. We thought we couldn't become that crazy. There's got to be a stopping point. And one of my hashtags every once in a while when I'm frustrated is, have we hit bottom yet? You know, have we hit bottom yet? And I don't know that we have hit bottom. Where is bottom? Where is the bottom of the slippery slope? When do we say we've hit bottom? We kill our babies. We exterminate basically Down syndrome children. We are now destroying our children, causing them lifetime agony by allowing them to choose their sex as small children and teenagers. When are we going to know?
Every day I wake up and I say it can't get any worse, and it does.
Well, maybe we're at bottom, and there's just so many things at the bottom we didn't know was here, would be here. Maybe we're at the bottom, but it doesn't mean there's just a lot more insanity at this bottom than we ever thought there would be.
To me, I do see this as an affirmation of the reality of who we are, made in the image and likeness of God, and the truth of Scripture, where Jesus says, and God says to Adam and Eve, don't go to that tree. You think you know what you're doing, but you don't. And if you do it, it's going to be, and I'm paraphrasing greatly, nothing but trouble. Mm-hmm. And look at what has happened, right?
Well, that's the point. We really can't. One of the blessed things and what great blessings of Christianity is that there's the beautifulness of what is given. You know, God has given us a beautiful, beautiful world, and he's given us a beautiful nature. Now, it's a fallen world, so there's going to be glitches, and there's going to be tragedy, and there's going to be great suffering. And but underneath it all, that the structure of the whole universe is absolutely good and beautiful.
Yes.
So we need to correspond to that and appreciate that rather than try to form
fight
it in our own image.
Right, right, because when we do, it causes nothing but pain and tragedy. Janet, thank you so much for your insights. Dr. Janet Smith, Sacred Heart Major Seminary, and of course, a renowned teacher and just amazing witness to the faith. We'll be right back with Chuck Donovan on some of the crazy stories out there in terms of abortion. Stay tuned.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
I've been a priest for 31 years. It's a call to a total gift to Christ. It's a total gift of one's life to be conformed to Christ. You know, and that's why I felt it when I was a young guy and I was kind of getting into religion and understanding it more deeply intellectually. It just began to hit me with a great clarity that if this is true, if God is real and God is a supreme good, well, why wouldn't I give my whole self to God? Why would I get distracted by anything else, you know? Now, again, I'm not saying that should be true for every single person on the planet. That's the way it hit me when I was a young guy, was I want to give as much as I can, my whole self, to Christ. So there's something heroic about that, where you do eschew a lot of things. You say no to a lot of things so you can say massively yes to Christ and to his demand. I think that's a heroic quality of it.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
What is criticism exactly? If you pay close attention, do you notice what most criticism is? Oh, it's not because you're doing something wrong or hurtful, something that needs corrected. Most criticism is, you're not doing it the way I would do it. Or you're not doing it the way I want you to do it. That's what most criticism is. And you have to get good at sorting that out. Otherwise, you're going to get real upset when anyone says anything about what you are doing. Now, of course, you could turn this on yourself. Do you do that? Is most of your criticism a message to someone else that says, you're not doing it the way I would do it? Well, save your criticism for things that are really wrong.
As I said to Dr. Smith before the break, this should be as frustrating and as mind-blowing as it is to see the hoops people are jumping through. This should be all the more reason that we understand the beauty and the dignity of the gift that God has given us through life and the truth of the human person made in God's image, male and female, and that life is precious. It is a child. We are pro-life from womb to tomb, from conception until natural death. And despite how the world tries to deny it, you can't contain the truth. You can suppress it. But truth cannot change, and eventually it's always going to come to the surface, hence the reason why they have to jump through so many hoops and drink so much Kool-Aid, because if they look at the reality of the situation, their ideas implode. I mean, it's just reality. That's how it works. But that's why they deny. They talk about, Janet and I were talking during the break before I let her go, and Chuck's on the phone with us from the Lozier Institute, Charlotte Lozier Institute. Get to him in a second. You know, I was talking to Janet about, you talk about people not existing. They want to act as if we don't exist, especially the women and the men who speak out about the pain from their abortion. They want to talk to us about that. And yet they sit there and say that we are trying to prevent people from existing. Sorry, I forgot to turn off my phone here. We are on the phone with Chuck Lozier from the Chuck Donovan from the Charlotte Lozier Institute. And Chuck, thanks for joining us. Again, I know you're joining us to talk about the Hyde Amendment and the reaction to some of these politicians who are running for office and saying that the Hyde Amendment, they're not supporting it anymore. Let's talk about that, but let's also talk about these other stories that are in the news, because there's so much to discuss this morning. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be on with you, Teresa.
All right. So the Hyde Amendment, which is very powerful, really is protecting. We're being called now, among other things in the pro-life movement, we're being called racist, because we support life. That is just, that's another one that's just like really not focusing in on the objective reality of things. The Hyde Amendment is actually saving more non-whites, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. It's covers, there's a various Hyde Amendments, but the main one covers the Medicaid program, the SCHIP program. And in the United States, a majority of abortions take place among minorities. Sounds like a conundrum, but about 39% among African Americans, another 25% among Hispanics. So in our study, we found basically the Hyde Amendment's actual most important function is that it saves lives, of course, and it's right now saving about 60,000 babies a year. Probably 55 to 60% of them are minorities. And this is sort of the poorly kept secret of the abortion campaign, as you know, has been targeted from the beginning eugenically, and I think those elements are still present.
Yeah, and again, it's a case of projection and deflection, because what they're doing is actually attacking minorities and reducing the number of minorities in our country, and we're the ones defending them and trying to protect them, and they're the ones calling us racist.
Yeah, well, it's a habitual thing. It's meant to shut down debate. It hasn't done that, because the Hyde Amendment, it's been one of the few things in public policy around abortion that's been pretty stable for quite some time. 35 states don't fund abortion. The Congress of the United States has not funded it for the bulk of the last 4-plus decades. And right now you're seeing an incredible drive, I think, among a handful of the most liberal Democrats to drive the party to the far left on this. And I think it will make the 2020 election in part one of its major themes. It's be a referendum on life, and we need to be present for it.
We're chatting with Chuck Donovan from the Charlotte Lozier Institute. They're the research arm of the Susan B. Anthony List. If you have a question, 877-573-7825. Are they pushing too much, do you think, on the left on this issue? Because they're going to the point where the more extreme they reveal themselves, the more people, I believe, are waking up and saying, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for this.
Well, I think that's right. We've been looking very closely at legislation in the states. Massachusetts, and it's historically a Catholic state, one of the most Catholic in the Union. Next week we'll have hearings on a measure that, if it is adopted, will allow late-term abortions to be performed outside hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
Will deny the ability of a baby born as a result of an abortion that fails and to be denied medical treatment, repeals the parental notice statutes in Massachusetts. It's unbelievably radical stuff. And we did a study showing how the United States is one of the seven most liberal countries on the planet. In these individual states, with these new laws, we're probably standing alongside the People's Republic of China. Absolutely radical.
Well, how about in Maine, where the governor is saying that they need to have abortions and they're going to do this, that are going to be performed by physician's assistants and nurse practitioners, and MD doesn't have to perform the abortion?
Well, there's that, and on top of that, of course, there's the push for chemical abortion. And the idea there in some quarters is that women will not have ultrasounds to confirm pregnancy or to prove that it's not an ectopic pregnancy. There's some suggestion from some of the activist groups that the woman would take the drug, and if she finds she's still pregnant, then you would confirm a pregnancy afterwards. So it is extremely reckless. It is not for a woman, certainly not pro-life. But you know what? People are being forced to take an account of their stance now because the court might change its ruling on abortion. People are coming out of the woodwork. I think it's good for us to know who stands where, yeah. But we have a duty to be well-informed.
The phone number is 877-573-7825 if you have a question for Chuck Donovan from the Charlotte Lozier Institute. I've never seen anything like this. I was talking with Kristen Hawkins on the air yesterday, Chuck, where there has been so much discussion, where abortion has been in the news practically, I don't say practically, every day, and in the news, in the secular news every day.
Well, I think it's a moment of choice. You know, you can talk about the life and the choice that's in front of us that we have. We face a blessing or a curse. This is America's opportunity to decide which way we're going to take. And the political parties express that. It's sad because, you know, I was in Congress back in the as a lobbyist for life back in the 70s, and we had equal numbers of Republican Democrats championing life. People forget that Jimmy Carter, of all people, was opposed to abortion funding. He tried to tighten the exceptions for rape and incest, even. And things have radically changed. Now you cannot be a pro-abortion enough. There are those who want Americans to pay for all abortions at all stages of pregnancy without limit. This will define our nation.
Yeah. And now we have a group of executives that put an ad in the New York Times yesterday. I think like 180 execs from various companies signed this, saying that they made a statement and they put an ad in the paper. Apparently they have a website now. Don't Ban Equality, I think, is the website, which is, again, so just the opposite of what's actually going on. And they're claiming that abortion bans are bad for business. Now, I'm not an economist, but I'm kind of thinking that if you wipe out your future customer base, that you're going to be worse off financially. I don't know.
Well,
I could have it wrong.
I think you don't have it wrong at all. I mean, look, there's some interesting work being done by a demographer named Lyman Stone, who's looking at what's happening in countries around the world that are suffering a birth dearth. The United States, and data we've compiled at the Lozier Institute, there are only two states in our union that have above replacement fertility. That is, women are having, on average, more than 2.1 children. The rest of them are pretty well below it. And the nation as a whole has only had 1 year, I think, since 1973, where we've had above replacement fertility. So we are experiencing economic growth on borrowed time and on borrowed money. And the most important thing that any society has is human capital, human ingenuity. We are draining that, and abortion
right.
is just, I think, the most direct example of an attack on human capital. And I hate using that phrase, but at the end of the day, we're talking about human individuality, capacity, talent, all the rest of that. We are missing these people that are gone. They're not
absolutely
simply,
yeah.
Abortion data.
And they're all drinking the Kool-Aid. Okay, let me play for you. You may have seen or heard this video, and this was posted on my Facebook page yesterday, Chuck. I had a huge response. It was sent to me by one of my listeners. This is a woman who claims to be a researcher, a feminist. She's a PhD, and she's written a new book, and she is defending and explaining that even though people might find it uncomfortable, that abortion is definitely killing. But just listen to the twists and turns she takes in language that I haven't heard before in the way to defend. And it sounds like she even supports, and I wouldn't be surprised, assisted suicide as well. This is Sophie Lewis. She is an author from Ireland, now living and working in the U.S. as a quote-unquote researcher. Take a listen. This is what they see as reality.
We're facing a really terrifying attack on abortion. In the US, where I live, in Northern Ireland and elsewhere, in the past, the strategies that our side has tended to use have included a kind of seeding of ground to our enemies. We tend to say that abortion is indeed very bad, but, or we say, luckily it's not killing. Luckily it's just a healthcare right. We have very little to lose at the moment when it comes to abortion, and I'm interested in winning radically. And I wonder if we could think about defending abortion as a right to stop doing gestational work. Abortion is, in my opinion, and I recognize how controversial this is, a form of killing. It is a form of killing that we need to be able to defend. I am not interested in where a human life starts to exist. I see the forms of making and unmaking each other as sort of continuous processes. The other end of the spectrum is the process of learning how to die well and hold each other and let each other go at the end of our lives as well as at the beginning. But looking at the biology of this kind of hemochorial placentation helps me think about the violence that innocently a fetus meets out vis-a-vis a gestator. And that violence is an unacceptable violence for someone who doesn't want to do gestational work. The violence that that gestator meets out to essentially go on strike or exit that workplace is an acceptable violence.
Chuck, are you there? Did we lose
Chuck? Yes,
oh, go ahead. Go ahead. No, you're speechless,
no,
too.
I'm stunned.
I have to laugh or else I'll cry. My head will explode again. Go ahead.
You know, in language, you know, of course, so often it's been euphemisms applied to abortion, you know, the right to choose without ever naming exactly what it is. I guess we're now getting what would be called a dysphemism, or I understand you can call it a cacophemism, where you actually label something in an ugly manner. I don't know. I don't think this is going to catch home, because I think even someone who is concerned about limits on abortion realizes that it's a terrible thing for a woman to face. They're often under duress. They're in a situation where perhaps the father of the child has abandoned her. She's not a gestator, and if we start viewing our mothers to be as gestators, well, we're going to live in a very, very ugly society.
How about this statement, defending a right to stop doing gestational work? I've never heard that before. Quite creative, I must say.
Well, it is, but I think if you're staring into the abyss and you think the abyss is where we all belong, maybe this makes a whole lot of sense. But I think we've got a chance to turn the corner on some of these questions. I really do. But we have to be known and understood as the people who are there to care, and we're there after hours. We're going to go the extra mile for life and go the extra mile for mothers. This kind of harsh and cruel speech, I feel for the woman. I don't know.
Yeah, I do too. I pray for her
through.
Because, boy, talk about being blinded and not really. I mean, she knows it's killing, so I'll give her credit for being honest enough to say that it's a killing. But to defend it at all costs, she says, we have to, you know, fight for it no matter what. Lord help her, and Lord help us all if we don't pay attention to this. Chuck, thanks so much. What is your website so we can get more information on the great research you do on the life issues at the Charlotte Lozier Institute?
Absolutely. We're lozierinstitute.org. That's Lozier, lozierinstitute.org, Teresa.
Keep up the great work, my brother.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks
yes.
for all you do.
Thank you. You too. And we'll be right back to wrap up on a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay tuned.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
I just want to share that 5 years ago, my lovely warrior princess and saint of a wife and I decided to adopt a little girl through foster care. She is the perfect round out of our family of three boys and her. Yes, there are challenges. Very grateful today for all the blessings that he has shown our family.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive? Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs in community, and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
It's practically an epidemic. 20% of Americans suffer from anxiety disorders, and millions more wrestle with worry and stress on a daily basis. For us as Christians, all that worry gets mixed up with a lot of guilt. How can we stop worrying and start living an anxiety-free life? I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and in my new book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, you'll learn how to respect how God made us and build new habits of thinking, communicating, and acting that will help set you free from worry. You can get your copy of Unworried and any of my other books at AveMariaRadio.net.
Wrapping up a Tuesday morning. Hope you're having a great day. And remember, all of this that we are sharing with you on EWTN, the reality of the situation, is to give you just that, the reality of the world in which we're living and why, as our Lord reminds us today in the gospel, that we need to be salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden. Don't hide that light. People are in desperate need of it. Talk to you tomorrow on a Wednesday. God bless you.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.